Welcome to the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Today we're going to run through a list of recent news announcements that have come across our desk over the last week and have a bit of a chat about recent store reports, things that we've seen become available in New Zealand or heard about online. First thing on our list is a couple of additions to the Episode 9 cast list. We've heard just recently that both Matt Smith and Dominic Monaghan will be playing yet unannounced or unnamed characters in the final of the sequel trilogy. In fact, Dominic has already tweeted that he's on his way to location to start filming.
It's really interesting with these new additions for Episode 7. They picked largely unknown cast members. So they wanted people that were unassociated with previous existing fandoms. But Matt Smith is so well known for his work as the Doctor in Doctor Who. And Dominic Monaghan has, of course, the Lord of the Rings trilogy series. So it'll be interesting to see how prominent they will be in the films and whether it's possibly an attempt to bring people from outside the Star Wars fandom, that fans of these actors from their other works will come and want to see them in the new Star Wars, to see them in just new roles.
I think it's really starting to herald the flow of new information about the new film, so I'm certainly personally looking forward to hearing more over the next little while and maybe finding out what sort of characters these people will be playing. We'll see how that pans out over time. Star Wars Resistance, that's had a little bit more information come out. It's actually getting really quite close to when it's launching next month, so they're a little bit late compared to some of their other programming, but we're starting to hear a little bit more about that. So in the recent past, we've seen the Resistance poster, and there has been a video released entitled Meet Team Fireball. Team Fireball being the name of the little rebel enclave based on the racing team.
The new video introduces us to the core cast, introducing the main characters and explaining a little bit more about the setting of this one. Now, while the name Star Wars Resistance immediately makes you think of we're going to follow along the actual Resistance. It's got Poe, it's got BB-8, we know Captain Phasma is going to be in there, so there's going to be the First Order. But what the most recent videos have really shown us is that it's actually following a Starfighter racing team, which is quite a bit removed from the conflict that we usually see between the Resistance and the First Order, certainly in the movies.
They're not on the front line at all, by the sound of things.
Yeah, so that certainly does match well with the slightly more, shall we say, simplified or more maybe kid-style animation. If we're looking at characters that are not directly fighting, that does put it at a much more family-friendly, not as violent, though we may see certain confrontations. There were stormtroopers in the video. But I think what we may be seeing here is that Disney is trying to make more targeted TV series. We know that they're working on a live action film, so that may be more what they want adults to be excited about, and that Resistance isn't necessarily the follow-on product for the Clone Wars or even Rebels, that this one is going to be more targeted at a younger audience, like the animated Lego Freemaker Adventures series.
Well, regardless of what age group it's targeted for, I'm quite looking forward to it. But I think you're right. I think they are going to not put the eggs all in one basket in terms of trying to target this programming, and there'll be quite a distinction between this and the live-action TV series.
We also know that, of course, the big news from recently was that The Clone Wars is coming back next year, so we will have three TV series in the near future, which will target different demographics, but of course I'm excited to watch all of them.
Yeah, like I said, even though this is probably targeted at a younger audience, I quite like the style. It does take me back, even though it's computer generated cell shading, it does take me back to, oh heck, even the early 80s Battle of the Planets stories imported from Japanese anime at the time, and Robotech / Macross, which I quite enjoyed in my youth. There's a lot of that sort of style evident in the animation that we're seeing already. Galaxy's Edge, the upcoming Star Wars themed section of Disneyland and Walt Disney World Parks that's currently under construction. We've heard a little bit more information specifically relating to the cantina that's going to be on site. They've given it a name, Ogre's Cantina, and they've really described that it's going to be a heavily themed and in-world experience where it really sounds like the staff that'll be attending and the characters that'll be play acting, role playing within the cantina will be staying in character for a real immersive experience.
This is an upcoming Star Wars development that I'm personally really excited for. I've been to Disneyland and Disney World, and the idea of expanding on the small amount of Star Wars that's already in the parks with Star Tours is just really exciting for fans of Disney and the Disney parks. And the little information that they're drip feeding through is just getting me more and more excited. The immersive and in character features are going to be just the closest that we're going to be able to get to really feeling in world. You know, the Disney Imagineers that have been working on the project have talked about, you know, what does blue milk taste like? You know, and I really hope that that is going to be on the menu because I really want to go up to the cantina and, of course, order that classic Star Wars drink. They've also mentioned that they will serve adult libations, and they have further explained that yes, that does mean that they will serve alcohol at Ogre's Cantina, which is interesting because up until now, as of now, Disneyland is what they call a dry park. They do not serve alcohol inside Disneyland. There is a store or two in the neighboring California Adventure that does serve alcohol, but up until now, Disneyland has not served alcohol. They have said that they will be it'll the alcohol has to be consumed in the cantina. At one of the recent sort of publicity events for Galaxy's Edge, they handed out cards to attendees, and in fact, one of the cards even featured Hondo Ohnaka, which we know from the animated series. So I would love to see like sort of scoundrel characters that we're familiar with making appearances
Oh, look,
in the
aliens. I really look
cantina.
forward to seeing aliens. We know there's going to be a lot of droids. They're really working on their droid tech to get droids roaming around. In the mock-ups and the models that they've shown, there's Gonk droids. I think even IG-88, do I remember correctly that there's IG-88
I
type
can't
droids in there,
remember.
possibly. The bottom line is I'm thoroughly looking forward to this. So what do we got for dates? It's Northern Hemisphere summer for the Disneyland parks, I think, which is so obviously our June, July, August next year. And they said, I think, late spring for the East Coast, which takes it to something like September, October.
I think it was late autumn.
Late.
It puts it towards the end of the year.
Yeah,
We're expecting them.
our spring, yeah.
Yeah.
So Northern Hemisphere autumn. So yeah, so well, October,
So,
November then that'll
yeah.
be.
As much as I would love to go to Disneyland to see the Star Wars land when it opens, they have timed the opening for the Disneyland Star Wars Park at their peak holiday period,
Summer,
which
their summer,
their
yeah.
summer, which coincides with the 4th of July. That's when they have their big school holiday break. So you've got weeks where all the kids are off school, and of course, all the families want to go to Star Wars Land. So I think for New Zealand fans, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to really experience the parks without waiting and waiting and waiting in really long queues, where all the Californian locals will be able to just drive on by and queue up to be amongst the first to see it. But nevertheless, I'm so excited. There have been talks of like a Star Wars alien sort of zoo of
Oh, the
sorts.
petting zoo. Yep.
Yeah, with they've shown pictures of like Loth cats and talking about turning cartoon and animals from the books into real life animatronic creatures that you can go and see.
There
One
was
of the
pictures of Banthas on one of the
Oh, if they make
concept art.
animatronic Banthas, I am so there. They are always one of my favorite Star Wars animals. That would just be amazing to see that turned into reality.
I think demand and the lines, the queues there are going to be crazy, even if it wasn't during their peak period. So, as painful as it'll be, I think the best strategy is going to be to wait just a little bit and check out the West Coast Park, Disneyland Park in Anaheim. Oh, maybe later in 2019 with a bit of luck.
I'll certainly be looking forward to seeing all the photos and reports from when the park finally opens.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of information. And I mean, there's already a lot of information coming up because as much as they try, they can't hide the construction that's going on. So there's online plenty of spy photos showing up of things being installed. They're up to the point where they're nearly, well, they've got the landing pad where the Millennium Falcon's going to be placed, all set up. They've put a landing shuttle on top of one of the buildings. Obviously, most of the landscape's already in place. And yeah, we'll just hear more and more as we get closer to that launch date next year. I think there's the D23 Expo takes place just before the West Coast opening, so I guess they'll really use that to hype things up and get people excited. Okay, what else is news? Heard a little bit more about the Disney streaming service. The Disney direct-to-consumer streaming service, which is we now know is called Disney Play, is set to launch late next year in the US. Variety.com has published a couple of articles with a few new details. They specifically mentioned the Jon Favreau live-action television series, which will be screening on this streaming service. 10 episodes for the first season. Whether or not that's going to be just fully circumscribed in a single wrapped up story or not, we don't yet know. They've given it a budget of $100 million for 10 episodes. $10 million US per episode is huge.
That's a real investment. They must be really excited about the content and pushing Star Wars for the launch of this platform.
Yeah, obviously Star Wars is going to be a big draw card for it. They're not going to have all of the existing movies on that streaming service because most of the ones that have been released up until now are tied up in other broadcast contracts with other studios that play them on a regular basis or have them available for their use at their discretion. But going forward, movies that come out in 2019 and subsequent will be also be made available on that streaming service. I really hope that there isn't a lag, or even better, if it comes out at the same time in New Zealand. It will be a little frustrating, to be honest, if this is launched in America and not worldwide, or not all the way down to New Zealand.
Particularly with the exclusivity of its content. While Rebels and some of the other Lego Star Wars stuff was screened on the Disney XD channel on Sky, the new Star Wars series will be exclusive to the streaming service. So if it's not available locally, that's going to cut out a lot of fans. So I really do hope they are going to try and launch this internationally at the same time, so you don't get, you know, a lot of Star Wars fans getting to watch something and then there being a massive lag or just an absence of content. Certainly as a local Star Wars fan in New Zealand, that's always a concern.
So we shall see how that pans out. We haven't heard anything about the regions in which it will be released. We have heard that they're aiming to put a price tag on it that is at a level lower than Netflix, which I've heard is something to be something in the range of about $8 to $14 for a monthly fee, which is fairly fair.
They realise that their starting catalogue is going to be smaller than the already established services like Netflix. So that should put it at a very budget-friendly price point for New Zealanders, particularly if you're predominantly subscribing for the Star Wars content.
Okay, lots of exciting news. I think it's been quite a busy news week in terms of those bits and pieces. Store reports, what's been happening at the local retailers? The Solo novel has just come out. If you check on the SWNZ website, we put some links to Book Depository. If you want to purchase that online, very good prices at Book Depository with free international shipping. I'm looking forward to this book. I want to get a copy myself. In the first instance, I've got it requested at the library, so I should have it in hand, and we'll get a review up on SWNZ at some point soon. But the thing I'm most looking forward to about this is that it's described as being an expanded edition. It's going to have a lot of material not covered in the movie. And I won't go into the spoilers, but I do know that the prologue in the book ties it to quite a few other movies or TV series in quite interesting ways. But I do like the novels, and they're doing this more and more often, that have chapters or sections of chapters that expand on the material actually covered in the movies. Ooh, what else did we see? We've talked about on SWNZ just in the last week a few other bits and pieces that are now available. Grab yourself some Porg socks from Mighty Ape if you're interested. There's a couple of new t-shirt designs at Cotton On.
I'm always excited to find women's Star Wars fashion available locally. Women's fashion, Star Wars fashion, has always been harder to find than men's Star Wars fashion in New Zealand. So it's neat to see a local retailer actually offering designs on women's cuts t-shirts.
So those women's Star Wars t-shirts are cotton on. They're both sort of retro style designs based on the Star Wars logo. There's been quite a large number. If you're looking for a Star Wars wallet, you want to keep Star Wars in your pocket at all times, there's a large range available at Mighty Ape right now. And we've also seen just recently at the warehouse the introduction of an exclusive Star Wars stationery range. This line of Star Wars product, which I feel is really quite nicely designed and quite nice quality, is designed in New Zealand. It's made in China and imported, but it's designed in New Zealand and exclusive to the warehouse, so it does make it quite a unique product line. We picked up a couple of those pieces. You chose some bits and pieces. What do you think?
Yeah, I picked up the Princess Leia sort of A4 notebook and Millennium Falcon notebook and a Millennium Falcon pencil case, a zip-up pencil case. And I was really impressed with the notebooks. They're sturdy covers, and the prints are really glossy. It's nice to see that sort of trendy style of stationery that can be used for adults. It's not just the sort of licensed stationery that's usually targeted at children in the children's section like we've seen in the past. It's nice to see a Star Wars product in New Zealand that is aimed at a broader audience, not just children. This is the sort of stuff that you can just use for day-to-day note-taking, whatever you want, and it doesn't feel like you've nicked it from your child's school bag.
The graphics and the design on them, I think, is really quite well done. It's not just the usual stock imagery that everyone else, that the cheaper end of stationery is often tied to. They've got quite creative and quite interesting with the way they've used things. So the bottom line is, I think it's really affordable. And when you see it in person, it's better quality than you might think seeing it online or just hearing about it online. It's definitely worth checking out at your local branch if you haven't already done so.
The thicker notebooks are especially neat to see in person. The Yoda one has a brilliant green foil embossed on the surface, and all of the sort of diary style notebooks, the thicker ones, have a ribbon bookmark with a metal charm that's shaped at the end. So the Yoda book has a little charm of Yoda's face at the end, and it's just little touches like that really sort of elevate it as something that you really want to grab when you see it in person.
Okay, the other thing that caught my attention is that Mighty Ape currently has in stock Star Wars Christmas ornaments, bundles of six spherical baubles themed from a different movie for each set. These have actually, when we talked about them on SWNZ, seem to be very, very popular. I think possibly they're popular because you get six Christmas decorations per box, so a couple of boxes, and you can really Star Warsify your Christmas tree at that time of the year. And per ornament, that's considerably cheaper than the pieces that Hallmark do, for instance, even though the Hallmark stuff is highly sought after and, you know, quite collectible.
I've certainly collected up a lot of the Hallmark Star Wars ornaments over the years, but they have become quite hard to find locally and certainly a lot more expensive than they used to be in the past. Some of them are getting up to $30, $40 for one ornament, and I'm sure we've all had the accident of an ornament falling off the tree and breaking, and $40 for one ornament can be a little bit of a stumbling block for, you know, Christmas trees. You like to decorate, celebrate things that you like, memories and stuff like that. And so having these huge big bauble sets, I think, is just a fabulous way you can basically cover your whole tree for a really great price. All your favorite characters are there.
So if you're interested in checking those out, go to the SWNZ website. I think that story has probably just dropped onto the second page, but it's easy enough to find. And at the warehouse, we're quite surprised, pleasantly surprised, to see the Black Series 6-inch Infest Nest with swoop bike show up at a fairly reasonable price. We're waiting to see a few more waves of other action figures in both scales, 3.75 and 6-inch, show up. But it was nice to see that box set with the vehicle, which is huge if you haven't seen it compared to the other speeder bikes. It's probably a good 9 or 10 inches long when it's fully assembled. So that's $99 for the TBS 6 Infest Nest at the warehouse. We've heard rumors that the warehouse will be getting additional waves of action figures this month. I hope that comes to fruition. We're still expecting to see quite a few characters from the Solo movie released, both on Vintage Collection and the 5-point of articulation line. And as always, there's plenty of people eager to see what's coming next locally in the TBS 6, the Black Series 6-inch line. Oh, hopefully not too much of a wait to see those locally.
I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of the Solo figures. I really enjoy collecting up all the main characters, and so it was a little bit a shame that the first wave didn't include so many of the major characters, but it's really great that we're getting this follow-up wave, so I really hope we see them locally and soon.
Okay, well, I think that wraps it up for us this week. I hope you enjoyed listening in, so thank you for listening in. We'll try and make this a regular thing, so stay tuned to the website, and probably about this time next week, we'll see what else we can come up with to talk about in terms of Star Wars news that's relevant to Kiwi fans. In the meantime, keep an eye on our website, www.swnz.co.nz, our Facebook page, just search for Star Wars New Zealand or SWNZ. We've also got a Facebook group which you can jump to from our website, and forums which you can jump straight to at swnzforums.co.nz. Thank you for listening.
May the Force be with you.